The wedding industry is up and running again as more venues reopen, more people are vaccinated, and couples reschedule their canceled plans due to COVID. But with the return of weddings comes the return of a lack of services catered to people of color and non-traditional couples. Special correspondent Fram de Sam Lazaro looks at how some in the industry are hoping to change that.
It was called Colorful Weddings, a wedding expo intended to push the bridal business beyond, well, bridal white.
So much of the mainstream wedding community doesn't realize that all these businesses exist.
Reena Maheshwari started her wedding planning business in 2019.
Doing a mixed Ethiopian and Indian wedding.
She's been to classes on how to market her company, on how an Instagram feed should look.
We're just told, well, you need to like have these like bright, white, airy photographs. And immediately I'm like, well, that color aesthetic does not apply to every wedding.
For her own wedding, Maheshwari struggled to find vendors who understood the traditions and nuances of her Indo-Nigerian celebration.
You know, the sangeet and, you know, traditional evening of dancing and stuff, and what exactly are the elements going on with henna, and just somebody who had that understanding where we wouldn't have to like walk them through the entire process. And we wanted to also incorporate John's Nigerian culture or at least something West African, and I couldn't find anybody.
That could be because diverse vendors have struggled to break into the mainstream business anchored by major wedding venues. Maheshwari says most event centers work with a small group of preferred caterers, for example, that limit the options for ethnic cuisines.
It's very hard to penetrate into any area.
It's not just venues that shut out the ethnic startups. Na Aban and Christiane Ampadu run a wedding planning company offering a distinctly African aesthetic down to their cake decorations.
If you want to get, you know, your work in a publication, like a bridal magazine, it's so hard. We've just been forcing and just talking to people and just referrals and things like that.
I think the wedding industry lags behind, and some of that is because it is an industry that is selling, quote, tradition.
Ohio University professor Catherine Jellison says that tradition began in the upper classes in Victorian England, but it really took off in America after World War II, and curiously, as a result of it.
There were many people like the DuPont Company that had specialized in the making of synthetic fabrics during the war who want to find a way to put that technology to use in peacetime. So making inexpensive white wedding gowns was a way to do that. And it was largely white, working class, and middle class families who really rushed to embrace what had been previously an elite custom.
She says it's important to include vendors that have caught up to the reality of a changing America.
If we're going to make in the wedding industry more diverse, we need to promote wedding vendors who look like the more diverse wedding customer.
Amal Karim is a Bangladesh native, Brian Boyce, a white Minnesotan.
For me, I think the place where maybe it's come to surface most is around maybe like makeup. Like I'm sort of a little bit, I've been a little wary of going to makeup artists who don't know how to work with like my skin tone and my skin coloring.
They discovered ideas for their upcoming wedding celebration were not easily found in magazines or online.
We wanted to not have like a traditional, just sort of traditional wedding cake. And there were some really cool vendors here who would do beautiful, like gulab jamun cake, which like, I've never heard of before as a cake option, but that's like a South Asian sweet.
Well, I think it's nice to be in a space, just it gets our conversations out of just us, you know? And just like a place where there's no one script for what a wedding
yes.
can look like, right?
I already felt accepted just walking in here. Yeah.
And for non-traditional couples, acceptance is perhaps growing, but never guaranteed. Sabah Asifa and Danielle Gonzalez have been nervous at times as they've planned their wedding.
I feel like sometimes I'm like, oh, do they know? Like, how are they going to think about it once they do know that we're like a same-sex couple getting married? Yeah.
But so far, walking in here, I was actually expecting the like, oh, where's your groom? Where's your groom? Because we get that a lot. But right away, they were like, oh, when's your wedding? And it was assumed,
yeah.
Which is really nice.
And the potentially really profitable, with the average cost of an American wedding now approaching $30,000.
I think we do have a situation because of changes in our U.S. society that more persons of color and members of same-sex couples have a kind of purchasing power and a kind of security in our society that allows them to be customers for professionally produced weddings.
A more than $50 billion business that she expects will see a post-pandemic surge this year. For the PBS NewsHour, this is Fred DeSam-Lazaro in St. Paul, Minnesota.